the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In the past few days, our talks really have been targeting the Scriptures and what the Scriptures mean in our lives and what message we're trying to get from them. And this last talk, I think, is really a culmination of all of that and one of the most important points, and that is, how do we live the Bible? The Bible, those of you who heard me speak and who heard His Grace Amber David speak, would have known that the Bible is a book of life. It is kinetic energy. It is not a book that sits still. It is not a book that we read and leave on a shelf. It is a book that we read and we live. Now, I'm sorry to disappoint you if you came expecting a Sunday school class that you've been hearing for the past 15 years, because you're not getting one. Okay, if I was going to speak to you here, regular Sunday school bunch, I'd say, yes, you have to be nice, you have to be good people, you have to behave, you have to love daddy and mommy, and you have to be good to church and go to church on time. Now, you've had that, I think, till you can recite what these words are without anyone telling you. But I'm giving you a completely different message. If we read the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, let me read these words to you. St. Paul says, "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not in ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart." Okay? Now what you are, you're not just sons and daughters of you know, Jesus Christ, and yes, we love Jesus and we have to represent Him in the world and we have to do all this. Yeah, we know that. We know that. What we want now is practicality. You are not just Christians in the world, you are an epistle. And you are not any epistle. You are an epistle written by the Holy Spirit on tablets of flesh. So basically, each and every one of you are a walking epistle. You are a walking, moving, living, breathing gospel. And you have to live the gospel in that context and in those terms. When you say you are an epistle, it doesn't mean part of you is an epistle. Some of you is an epistle. Most of you, you are an epistle. All of you, all together. One complete person. Too often we try to fragment our lives into what I do at school, what I do at work, what I do at home, what I do in the church. And I live a lie. I live an absolute lie. I live distraction. I live conflict. And that's why we end up getting so torn apart. Because yes, I've got to be good here and I've got to be putting up a certain image here. And somewhere else is another image, and the third place is the third image. And I don't know who I really am anymore. We are epistles of the living God, written by the Holy Spirit on tablets of flesh. Which means that everything I do, everything I say, every word I speak, and every action must proclaim this image of the epistle of Christ. It's not just part-time. Unfortunately, you and I, although God created us, and He loves us, and He had no need to create us, except that He loves us, but we become a liability to God. We really do become a liability. If I was Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist or atheist or agnostic, and I lived an immoral life, well, you know, that's just what he does. But as a Christian, I bear his name. I bear the name of Christ. And so whatever I do reflects back directly at him. Let me put the scenario into context. This is our God, who is our Father, who is willing to ascend to the cross and was willing to die and suffer to save us. Okay? We all know that. And so what do we do to repay him? Do we live an honorable life? Do we live a righteous life? Do we live a life of love? Do we present a good example? Or do we take the easy way? We have a positive mission in our lives. A positive mission. And that is that we are the light of the Lord in the world. Now you might think what this has to do with living the gospel. Well, basically it means just that. As the light of the Lord in the world, we are his image. And we must live his gospel, his way. And I was speaking to the younger group yesterday, and it's not such a bad thing. The Bible is not just about constraints and limitations and laws and how to make you miserable. Believe it or not, the Bible is actually uplifting. It is liberating. Because it gives us a message through which we are liberated from the very thing that binds us in the world, and that is sin. Takes it away. Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How many times have we heard that? We hear it in the sixth hour gospel every day we pray the Agbeya. Okay? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How many of our good works do we let shine before men? When people see me walking down the street, do they see good works? When people see me dealing in my work or in my studies or at my school, do they see good works? You and I are mirrors of Christ. Little mirrors. Little small mirrors. And in each one of those mirrors, we portray back into the world the picture of Christ. Imagine a large mirror, the size of this screen. One person looks into it, and you get one image. Imagine this same mirror, the side of the screen, being shattered into 1,000 pieces. You get 1,000 small mirrors, and the one face reflected into each one of those. And you are those small mirrors. When we say we're the body of Christ, this is not just a campaign slogan. You know, we're not trying to think of catchy titles to win votes by them, you know. We are talking reality. You are the body of Christ. You are members. You are the body of Christ and members individually. You know, St. Paul wrote some pretty nice stuff. I think any politician today would love to have him on a campaign team, because he has these little catchy expressions, and they're quite vivid. And when you think of them, body of Christ, what does body of Christ mean? It means that if my hand starts to become disfigured, well, that's connected to the rest of my body. And it's indication of the rest of my body. If my hand becomes disfigured, I don't just cut it off and throw it away. You walk through work sites today, and you see so many signs up saying caution, wear helmets, wear gloves, wear coats, wear boots. Why? Because you want to protect every part of your body. You don't want to be walking around losing fingers, you know, we don't have too many of them. You want to protect them. You want to make sure they're all there. You have a responsibility and an onus to protect. Likewise, you have a responsibility to protect the whole body of Christ. I'm not speaking like your father would speak to you. Your father would say, listen, you be good because what you do, you give me a bad name. Who has that? Who's had that said to them before? You know, you're my son, you're my daughter. Yeah, you're going to go out dressed like that? What are people going to say about me? You give me a bad name. That's not what God means. When I say we're responsible, I don't mean it in that way. What I mean it is that we are responsible because this is a God whom we love. And these are brothers and sisters whom we love. And I have a responsibility to look after the interests of each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Gentlemen, I'll ask you a question. Who has a sister? Okay. All right. Some of you are really, really reluctant to admit it. You can just... Okay. Now, you have a sister, okay? And I'm thinking of this because I know how protective guys are over their sisters, particularly. All right? Now, would you do anything to compromise the reputation of your sister? Never. This is your sister. This is flesh and blood. Would you do anything to compromise the reputation of your sister? Likewise, in our lives as Christians, we should not do anything to compromise the reputations of our brothers and sisters everywhere in the world, because we have one common father and one common mother. Our father is God, our mother is the church. And so for me to live that way, I've got to live this Bible, this gospel. Gospel of St. John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. If you abide by my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If we abide by his word, by the word of God, by his teachings, we are truly his disciples. Now his word, if we want to look at this whole Bible, let me give you a little summary. Okay? The summary of Christianity and Christian life to date. God exists, world created, man created, man messes up, man thrown out of paradise, God incarnate, God saves man, God ascends to heaven, man is now worthy of salvation, man awaits the coming of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the history of mankind. Very simply, that is the scriptures, that is the Bible, that's all it is. All it is, this book, goes into a little bit more detail. But that's all it is. Simple message. Simple message is that we have been saved by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ based on one, you know, fine print on these contracts. Look for the fine print. You'll have some people who tell you're saved anyway. Well, we're going to get a rude shock someday. Because there is fine print at the bottom of this contract. And that fine print is, you're saved, you have salvation, if you do the little bit of work that you have to do. If you live the sort of life that you need to live. God has given you the entitlement to enter the kingdom. It's up to you to do the rest. It's up to you to go there and claim that entitlement. And that happens through our own works, through our own good works in our lives. Now, again, seeing we're trying to summarize everything for you, I'm going to give you the Bible in tablet form. Right? Another very small summary as to what it means to live the Word of God. What does it mean? The Word of God, as our Lord Himself spoke to the Jews, simplified into two very small commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, and all your mind. Number one. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Number two. And that's it. That is Christianity. That is the message of the Bible and how we should live. I'm not going to go into details of telling you, you know, what you should do and how you should walk and how you should work and how you should speak. It goes very simply. To live the scriptures, you've got to bear two things in mind. The first is you love God with every atom and every moment and every instant of your being. And the second is that you love everybody around you and you treat them as God treats us. Or as we would like to be treated. With love, with respect, with consideration. And that's all it is. So, as a very simple test in your lives, every time you want to assess whether you are living according to the scriptures, say, does this mean that I love God? Yes? No. If yes, it's fine. If no, maybe I need to fix it. You know those flowcharts? Let me draw something for you. Okay, you have an act. Does it signify that I love God? Yes and no. If it's no, I've got to do something about it. If it's yes, do I love others? Yes and no. If it's no, we've got to do something about it. If it's yes, it's what we're after. And that is the simplicity of the Word of God. The simplicity of the Word of God is, do I love God? Do my acts signify that I love God? Do my acts signify that I love others? And if you want to go into the details of all of those things, you can talk about how you treat others, your attitude with your family, your attitude with your friends, your attitude with your parents, your attitude with life generally. No, the Bible tells us some very rough things. Really, really rough things. Like, if someone strikes you on your cheek, turn the other cheek. You really expect me to do that? Yeah. Forgive others 70 times 7 times. You really expect me to do that? Yes. Love my enemy. Do you really expect me to do that? Yes. We're not going to compromise here. This is the Word of God. And if we have these two concepts in mind of loving God and loving others, then they will come naturally. They will come naturally. We'll be able to do nothing but do the right thing. Now, be careful that there are small things that pass us by and we think that they don't apply. Like, When I say love each other and love the world, I don't realize that that means love my family as well. I just forget that it means love my brothers and sisters and my parents. It just means I got to go do good works in some far out country that is suffering from a famine, or giving donations to starving children. But that's not where loving the world starts. Loving the world starts in my own home. If I don't do that, then I can't be following the example and the commandment of my Lord. How do I deal with others? What is my attitude? Is it an attitude of love? Attitude of selfishness? Attitude of respect? Am I considerate? Be aware that spiritual life starts from the smallest of things. Our Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross in excruciating pain, bearing the sins of the world, being taunted, being mocked, being ready to save the world. And in the midst of all that, in the midst of all of that, he looked down and said, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to John, "Behold your mother." In the midst of saving the world, he didn't forget to serve his own mother. In the midst of doing good works throughout the entire universe, don't forget to serve your families. Don't forget to live this gospel in your own homes. Believe it or not, your parents actually do love you. It may be extremely hard to believe sometimes, especially those times when you want to do what you want to do and they won't let you. But they do. Follow this in your own community, in your own church, in your own society, in your own world. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, when our Lord spoke to the disciples who are going to lead the whole Christian world and who are going to spread Christianity everywhere, he said to them, "And the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will witness to me in" where? Did he say, "You're going to witness to me throughout the whole world, so get ready"? What did he say? Where they were going to witness first? Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then the end of the earth. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Start with your own Jerusalem. Start with the Jerusalem that is within you. Start with your families. Live your life, live your Christianity in every aspect. Very small things that creep into our lives now and we don't even realize them. Like the way we speak. Like the amount of swearing, vulgar swearing, that has crept into our language. Even if it's in joking form. If I live this way, do I present the living epistle that is written by the Spirit of God on tablets of flesh? When I walk around and I treat people in a way that they shouldn't be treated, is that the living epistle that is written by the Spirit of God on tablets of flesh? Do we act? Do we walk? Do we talk? It's all very simple. It's all very simple. The message of the Scriptures is the message of our Lord. And the message of our Lord is love everybody around you. And that's how we live it. You don't have to become philosophers or academics or experts in New Testament, Old Testament, in the scriptures. You just have to know how to love people. Really, really love people. You have to know how to forgive people. Living the Word of God and living the Scriptures is not a hugely complex task. It goes against our very human nature sometimes. Because our human nature goes back to Mr. Id. Who studied psychology? Freudian psychology. Freudian psychology says there are three stages of development. Id, the ego, and the superego. Mr. Id wants to eat, drink, sleep, etc. Those of you who are laughing have studied Freud. Mr. Ego is a person who is constrained by social law and environmental law. Mr. Superego has a conscience because he is controlled and he is led by a much higher form of law. Don't live in the form of id. Because when we live in the most primary animal state, all we care about is the satisfaction of our own needs and our own wants. Only. Doesn't matter who else needs what, when, where, how. It doesn't matter. As long as I'm satisfied, as long as I get what I want, as long as I get the attention I want, as long as I say what I want to say, when I want to say it, and the way I want to say it, regardless of how it affects people, regardless of how it hurts people, as long as I do what I want, then I'm fine. I can be obstructive. I can be hurtful. I can be selfish. But hey, I'm doing what I want to do. The Word of God puts us into a state of extreme refinement. And that's why it's so difficult sometimes. Because it gives us an extreme. Now, as much as I love you all, and as much as I respect you, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You're not all going to be saints. Now, otherwise we'd have no place in our church for your relics. Now, could you imagine in this room there are, what, 300 people? Where would we find churches to put the relics of 300 people? So some of you have to end up just being normal people who will be good people, but you won't necessarily have to be saints. And the reason I'm saying that is, don't think that the only way you can be a good Christian is to live to the absolute ideal in this book. Because a lot of people, most people, will not live up to the absolute ideal in this book. We all get somewhere along the way. We all aim for the ideal, aim for the best spot, and get there somewhere. Where exactly? It's up to how much effort we put into it. So don't think that if you can't be a perfect Christian, then there's no sense trying. No, there is a sense trying. Follow the teachings of the Bible that lead you to perfection in your life. And even if you don't reach perfection, it'll be okay. Even if you don't reach perfection, you'll still reach the best possible solution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when He spoke to the multitudes, and He spoke to His disciples, He had one very, very clear and simple message. You're all wonderful people, but from you, from some of you, I'm going to need 30-fold. From the others, I'm going to need 60. And from some of you, I'm going to need 100. Each according to His abilities, each according to His character and His personality. God is not going to expect that we're all going to be saints at the end. He just wants us to do the best thing we can in living His Word. Who has a really graphic imagination? Who has a very graphic imagination? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. I know some of you, so yes, I agree. It's very graphic. Okay? Now, if you have a graphic imagination, I want you to picture this. Okay, I want you to close your eyes and picture this. I'm going to say these words to you, and I want you to visualize them. Okay, you ready? You are clearly an epistle of Christ. Not one written in ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of your heart. Can you visualize that? Can you visualize yourself walking down the street, being a living epistle? The one word that is extremely important in this verse is that you are clearly an epistle of Christ. Who is clearly an epistle of Christ? Okay, you can open your eyes now. Some of you are going into semi-comatose state. Just back to the plot. You are clearly epistles. You are clearly epistles of Christ. Who of us can honestly think that he or she is clearly an epistle of Christ? In every deed, in every word, in every action. It starts from how we speak to each other, to how we deal with each other, to even how we dress. To even how we dress. Society is leading us in lots of different directions. Lots of different directions. When you wake up in the morning, when you're washing your face and preparing yourself to walk into the world, to leave your own little safe haven and walk into the world, I want you to go back to that visualization that you had 5 minutes ago and see if you are going to walk into the world as a true epistle that is clearly the epistle of Christ that is written on tablets of flesh, that is your hearts. Is that the vision you're going to have? Is that the feeling you're going to have? Is that how you feel when you walk to work? Or you walk to school? Or you drive your car? Is that the understanding we have of ourselves? Do I know what I need to be? You know, when someone cuts me off in the morning, I'm driving to work and I stick my head out the window, I'm just about to... That is not an epistle of Christ that is going to be written on flesh. So you take a deep breath and say, thank you for doing that. Have a nice day. Thank you for adding to my ability to withstand what you're doing to me. Makes you into a better person. Makes you a better person. When I'm going out to that celebration or that party or that event or wherever I'm going, and I am getting dressed for the occasion, am I the epistle of Christ? Or am I mentioned in a song by Destiny's Child? Yeah, you all know the one. When I come to deal with people, am I the picture of Christ? Am I the picture of Christ? Am I the light of the world that people see and give glory to my Father in heaven? Or am I some other image that the world has conjured up? Have I become that person that is the living epistle clearly in my life? Or am I a liability to God? And believe it or not, He still loves us. We give Him a bad name. We give Him a bad reputation. And He still loves us. People walk around and say, what, you're Christians? You're doing this and you're Christians? What are you talking about? Where's this Christianity? How can you be a Christian if you say this? Who here has been let down by a friend? Who here has had a friend say awful things about them? Who here has felt that their friends have jeopardized their reputation? Who here is still able to love those friends totally, even unto death? Our Lord did. We ruined His reputation. We ruin His reputation every day. Because we're not only His friends, we're His children. But He's willing to love us even unto death. Are we His disciples? Are we His children? Are we His epistles? Are we His epistles? You are the epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ. Not written with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. That is, of the heart. And glory be to God forever. Amen.